Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back gonna throw. Jones is there. It's caught. Julio stays in. Hit the pylon. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with quarterback Matt Ryan and more Falcons.
As we also get your take on today's game. The Falcons flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Thomas Mott.
The first Falcons game of 2021, Nets, no real difference, as thankfully the Falcons season is officially over, one of the worst in recent memory. And honestly, the game against Tampa today went kind of exactly as we expected. Not only this game to go, but as many of the Falcon flyover games we talk about here on the show have gone. Good evening, welcome into the final Falcon flyover of the 2020-2021 NFL season. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. Dylan Matthews in with me today. 44-27. Tampa Bay locks up the number 5 seed. Tom Brady throws his 43rd touchdown at the age of 43. A crazy year for him in a Bucs uniform. Matt Ryan, 2 touchdowns, but the defense got absolutely torched. Antonio Brown was all over the place, and Atlanta gives up 44 points, only scores 27, and they fall to 4-12. Now, we do it every single week, or at least we have been the past couple of weeks. Dylan, we break down the game exactly the way we wanted to see it. We wanted what? A competitive game for the majority of the day. Don't know if we got all the way there because it was kind of a blowout late, but still, it was fun. And we got the Falcons to have no major injuries. They looked like they were trying hard. And finally, most importantly, Dylan, they lost. And they officially have locked down either the 3rd overall pick or the 4th overall pick, depending on this Miami game that is going on. Excuse me, depending on the Texan game that is going on right now, which is currently 17-6. Texans are driving quickly. The scenario is if Houston beats Tennessee, and that game is almost at halftime, Texans down 11, then that means the Falcons are the 3rd overall pick. If Houston were to lose to Tennessee, the more likely scenario, that means the Falcons fall one more spot back to number 4. They can be no worse than 4, meaning, Dylan, mission accomplished. The Falcons are going to get one of the best players in the 2021 NFL draft.
We love to see it.
Love to see it.
We love to see it. I mean, It was a good end to what's been a very, very tough season to watch. Like you said, I started watching the Falcons when Matt Ryan first came in, like, 08. That's when I really started paying attention hard to them. And, you know, since that time, there have been, you know, not some not-so-great seasons, but we've stayed kind of competitive throughout. But this was definitely one of the more tougher ones to swallow. I'm happy it's over. And now we get to move on to the interesting part of the Falcons season this offseason, what they're going to do at head coach, general manager, and most importantly, the draft with that high overall pick. And now all the Falcons fans are getting what they wanted. I know I got what I wanted, a close game where it was still watchable. And we'll see what they decide to draft.
Texans have hit a field goal as time expires in the second. It's 17-9. We're all big Deshaun Watson supporters right now. Put your Texans hats on. We are cheering for a big Texans win here in the second half. We'll give you updates on that one as they are going to halftime. Again, the scenario, we will mention it a lot tonight. If Houston beats Tennessee, that game is 17-9 Titans. Houston Texans win, their pick goes to Miami, but then they fall one behind the Atlanta Falcons, meaning Atlanta would have the number 3 overall pick, which now becomes honestly where the NFL draft starts. You can make the argument that the Jets are where the draft starts because we know the Jaguars will be taking Trevor Lawrence. That has been locked up since they secured the number one pick weeks ago, and I think there's no difference there, even with Trevor Lawrence struggling in what was a very, I think, lackluster playoff performance there a couple of nights ago in the semifinal game against Ohio State. The question will be, will the Jets go ahead and take Justin Fields at two? Will they take the best player available for their team, whether that is Devontae Smith or Penny Sewell? Will they trade back? Either way, Atlanta's going to have their choice, honestly, of the best defensive player in the draft. We don't expect a defensive guy to go with those first two picks. And the pick everybody wants on Twitter right now, a shot at Justin Fields if he is available. We're going to break that one down a lot more here on this show. I will say this, and this will upset a lot of people who are big Justin Fields fans. I'm not anti-Justin Fields. Let me just say that again. If they take Justin Fields at four, I'll be fine with it. I think you need to get your quarterback of the future because we all understand Matt Ryan's days are limited in Atlanta. Who knows? Maybe we saw Matt Ryan's last day in a Falcon uniform today. That is a reality. However, 44 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a year that A.J. Terrell has looked good still tells me Patrick Surtain is a very real possibility as being the top pick for the Atlanta Falcons. They need a cornerback, and he's the best one we've seen in a long time. This dude looks like Jalen Ramsey without the drama of Jalen Ramsey. And if you can get that, the Alabama corner, I think that becomes the number one target there at number four if they are not going to go quarterback. Now, we have, let's do the math here, almost 4.5 months till the end of April to discuss this and figure out what the Atlanta Falcons are going to do. And obviously, we'll talk more about this here on the show today. But number four, if it is number four, number three, if it is number three, is an extremely valuable pick, an extremely high pick, and the Falcons can do a ton of different things with that selection to hopefully get themselves to a point where this time next year, January of 2022, this Falcon Flyover show is talking about a playoff run. Now the Falcons have locked up a playoff seed instead of talking about a high draft pick because, yes, draft picks are fun and it'll be exciting over the next couple of months, but I would much rather be playing next week. I would much rather be sitting there even as, I mean, heck, the seventh seed and have a shot to do something in the postseason, which, of course, Atlanta has absolutely no chance and has had no chance at that playoff spot really the past couple of years because they have been absolutely, let's be honest, terrible at times, and I've got to figure out a way to go ahead and get better. But at least the new GM, the new head coach, instead of getting the 9th overall pick or the 11th overall pick, they actually will be able to go ahead and get a top 5 pick, which I think makes the Falcon job all the more valuable if you're trying to woo over one of these top head coaches. Because as we've said, and Dylan and I have talked about this on the show a lot here, is Atlanta a highly sought after coaching spot or not? I think that's up in the air. It depends on who you ask. If you have somebody who likes Matt Ryan and Julio Jones plus a top 4 pick, then the answer is yes. If you have somebody that doesn't like Matt Ryan or Julio Jones, it becomes a little bit more, I think you could say, less valuable because you'd have to either coach with a guy you do not want at quarterback or draft a quarterback and let him sit behind Matt Ryan and you kind of have a lull year, kind of an in-between year in 2022 before your regime could actually fully take over with the guys that you want. Either way, the 4th overall pick is exciting, and that's where we got to break down here on the show today because, yes, we can talk about the game today. The Falcons ran the ball, I guess, better than you can say, although the 9 carries for Brian Hill and 94 yards is a little bit of a fool's goal because he did have that 62-yard run there in the 4th quarter that took up over, 3/4 of his rushing yards. Besides Brian Hill's big carry, Gurley, nothing. Russell Gage, at the end of round, had the 1 carry for 11 yards. Ito Smith, absolutely nothing. So the running game, a lot more of the same. The wide receivers, a lot more of the same that we've seen. A good Russell Gage day, a good Calvin Ridley day, and a good overall day, I would say, from Hayden Hurst with the touchdown reception and the 4 catches on 6 targets. But it just feels like we have rinsed and repeated what the Atlanta Falcons do poorly week in and week out. And today, it was more of mediocre Matt Ryan, more of poor running from the running backs. That's better. I mean, that's like literally every single week. Wide receivers were good, but not good enough to win. And the defense was not able to get to Tom Brady at all. And they were unable to slow down either Chris Godwin or Antonio Brown, both of which combined for, do the math here, 271 yards, 138 for Antonio Brown and 133 for Chris Godwin. It was rough in the secondary there. And that's where I start to go, Patrick Surtain makes a ton of sense as being the first overall pick for the Falcons in the 2022 NFL draft, because corner, to me, is a massive need. And it more so becomes a need because Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end from Miami, doesn't seem to be worthy of a top five pick. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit longer. I'll hear from you guys as you call in later on in the show. Where do you want to go with the fourth or potentially third overall draft picks? But right now, Thomas Mott is leaning towards a cornerback, and the one out of Alabama is pretty darn good. Okay, quick break, come back, roll to the top of the hour. I have like 8 pages of highlights because there were so many points scored in this game. We'll get you to the highlights, and then we'll, of course, take your guys' phone calls as well as the final Falcons flyover show of the 2020 NFL season is live now at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game is over.
Wow, this game is over.
We're doing a complete breakdown of today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back inside the Kia Studios, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. Final Falcons flyover of the 2020 NFL season. Week 17 officially over for Atlanta. 44-27 losers to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Highlights are coming up here in just 1 second. First, though, follow me on Twitter at RealThomasMott. Of course, Dylan Matthews in here with me at the same time. Follow the station at 929 The Game as well. Coming up here in about 18 minutes, we're going to go up to the WadeFord.com hotline and do our bird's eye view interview with Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter, the final bird's eye view interview of the year. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into exactly what happened in today's game with our highlights. Let's go. All right, Tom Brady, 43 years old, marching out onto the football field, trying to lock up the 5 seed for Tampa Bay against our Atlanta Falcons, and it was easy pickings early as the Bucs took the opening drive, 7 plays, 68 yards, and that really good wide receiver, Chris Godwin. How about 29-yard TD pass from Tom Brady?
Play fake to Fournette, second down, long throw, looking far side, and it is caught, touchdown, and that's Godwin for the score in Tampa.
That made it 7-0. West Durham there on the call here. You heard that one on 92.9 The Game. Falcons would have a field goal on their ensuing possession, a 13-play, 70-yard drive. Fourth and goal from the Tampa Bay 3. They choose not to go for it. A little strange being at 4-12. Maybe they're going for the draft pick early. You never know. Field goal by Younghoe Koo is good. Tampa Bay would add on their own field goal just a couple of possessions later. Okay, fast forward here to the, the third or fourth drive of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or excuse me, the Falcons, and kind of a bad snap exchange here between Matt Ryan and Brian Hill resulted in a fumble recovery. It sounds like Antoine Winfield returns it for a touchdown, but in reality, he was down where he caught the ball.
The former power eye to the left side. And did the ball get stripped out of there? It did, and it scooped up Antoine Winfield down the far sideline, and the Buccaneer defense going to score.
That one would be called back, however, the Atlanta Falcons would go ahead and punt on their ensuing drive. Back to the Bucs, the ball would go, already up 10-7, 6 plays, 57-yard drive. Gets Tampa Bay inside the Atlanta 25. This time, deep ball, Antonio Brown, his first of what would be many catches today on third down.
Here's 3rd and 10. Brady moving to the pocket on the right side, rips it toward the end zone, caught. Antonio Brown, is he in? He is. Touchdown, Tampa.
The Bucs would go ahead and add a field goal on their next possession. It was 20-3 with about 8:44 to go in the second quarter until finally Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense got things going, a 14-play, 75-yard scoring drive. This time, they go for it on 4th down and 4 from the Tampa Bay 10. They convert, then 1st and goal at the 1. No good for Todd Gurley. Matt Ryan takes it himself on 2nd and goal from the 1-yard line on a QB sneak.
Ryan and the Falcons at the doorstep for 2nd and goal, and Matt will sneak. And they say he didn't get in again.
What?
Come on, guys. Touchdown. There you go.
Gurley was in the last time.
West Durham's call there on the 1-yard touchdown run. Dave Archer's, what? Is exactly what we were all thinking as Matt Ryan was in. It is a touchdown. Falcons on the board. They're down 20-10. Tampa Bay adds a field goal going into halftime. It's 23-17. We go forward into the third quarter. Atlanta gets the opening kickoff after halftime. 11 plays, 75 yards. And the leading receiver of the day, Russell Gage, this one, touchdown pass, 19 yards from Matt Ryan.
Well, now you got a tight end, 3 receivers. Todd Gurley's coming to game. Here's Ryan to throw now, 3rd and 17, toward the end zone. And caught! Touchdown, Russell Gage against Antoine Winfield.
That one made it a one-score game, 23-17. The ensuing Tampa Bay drive, really Tom Brady's one bad throw of the day. Third down and 10 from the Falcon 29. A little bit over the head of his intended receiver, Ricardo Allen on the pick.
Yep, there's a throw and a drop by Miller. Allen with a marker down, picked up the loose ball, and we'll see if it stands as an interception for Ricardo Allen. And he's finally tackled at the 18 after trying to weave his way back up the field.
Falcons would have to settle for a field goal following the interception. Again, they don't go for it on fourth down and goal from the 3. And what was a 6-point ball game, I get taking the points if this game matters for the Falcons, but it didn't. However, I guess it kind of helped them lose, which is good for the draft pick, so we won't complain too much. Problem is, makes it 23-20, and then Tampa Bay goes right back down the field again, ran all over this Falcon defense. First down and goal from the 3. This time, Ronald Jones does it with his legs.
He's had 6 games of 300 yards or more this year. Here's Jones and the touchdown. Ronald Jones just straight up the A-gap, and his 7th rushing score of the year.
The Falcons would go ahead and fumble on their ensuing possession. That made it, again, 27-30. It's 20-30 after that touchdown. The Falcons would get a Brian Hill 62-yard run on the second play of their ensuing drive and then cap off by finally going for it on fourth down and goal from the 1. This one, a touchdown pass to Hayden Hurst.
Keith Smith and an eye. Ryan on a play fake. Matt looks, throws, open, Hurst, touchdown Atlanta. Wide open, they fake the run, and Hayden Hurst gets the touchdown from Ryan.
It's so weird how the Falcon offense can just go from nothing in the first half to back-to-back touchdown drives in the second half, and again, getting this one within 3. It was 27-30 late in the third quarter. We fast forward to the fourth quarter, and Tampa Bay, another scoring drive. 8 plays, 75 yards, third down and goal from the Atlanta 4. Chris Godwin again from Tom Brady.
Under 4 to go, 10 on the play clock for Brady. Fournette in the backfield. Tight end right with 2 receivers, single guy left. Brady hesitates, waits, and then coming open, Godwin for the catch and score.
That one made it 37-27. Atlanta, time really against them now with 3:54 to go. They're starting to march and a couple of plays that gets the Falcons to their own 42, and then Calvin Ridley makes his first mistake of the day, a tough fumble essentially sealing this ballgame.
3:18 to go, 37-27 Tampa. First and 10, here's Ryan. Crossing route for Ridley, and the ball got jarred by Murphy Bunting and recovered by Sean Murphy Bunting.
That was Calvin Ridley's first fumble on the day. He was the number 2 receiver in terms of total yards of the Falcons offense behind Russell Gage on the afternoon. Tampa Bay, insult to injury, their final possession of the day following the fumble. 3 plays, 38 yards, and Antonio Brown's 30-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
Here's the snap, and Brady looking. Now throws backside Brown, marker down, Anthony Brown at the 5, flips into the end zone for what will be a touchdown if it stands.
Bucks win 44-27. Tom Brady, 26 of 41, 399 yards, 4 touchdown, 1 pick. He was only sacked 1 time. That is Tom Brady's 39th, 40th, 41st, 42nd, and 43rd touchdown pass of the year as he is... quite the incredible player, the greatest quarterback of all time at the age of 43. He made the Falcon defense look silly all day long. Ronald Jones, 12 carries, 78 yards and a touchdown. Matt Ryan, 29 of 44, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. We can say that Brian Hill had 9 carries for 94 yards on the ground, but really 62 of those came on that long run late in the fourth quarter. So in reality, the Falcons yet again completely anemic running the football. They've got to go find a running back this offseason who makes the Falcons not just a one-dimensional team, but at least gives them an option to run the football whenever they need to late in these football games. Russell Gage, 9 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown, and Calvin Ridley, 8 for 52 with that costly fumble later on in the fourth quarter. Those are your highlights on the Falcons' final game of the year. They fall to 4-12, 2-6 on the road, and 2-6 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Next time we will see them will be brand new head coach, a brand new general manager, possibly a brand new quarterback, possibly no Julio Jones. Who knows? A lot of changes are coming to the Atlanta Falcons. The first one that must drop, though, is a brand new general manager followed by a brand new head coach. And the question now becomes, how long will we wait? How long must we wait until the GM is decided? Because that goes into who you hire as your head coach. Technically, The GM does not really get a bunch of say on who the head coach is. That's more of the owner's decision. But in, you know, properly functioning organizations, I would argue, you want those two guys to be on as the same, close to at least, the same page as possible in order to build a coherent team. If Atlanta can do the San Francisco mold of hiring both a great GM and a great head coach, as the 49ers did with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan a couple of years ago, I think they can get back to where they were, at least back whenever Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of this football team, a.k.a. winning some games. GM first, then you're going to go ahead and get your head coach, and then we figure out what to do with potentially the number 4, maybe even the number 3 overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Speaking of that potential 3rd overall pick, remember the scenario: Texans must beat the Titans in order for the Falcons to be 3 instead of 4. Not looking good, as Tennessee has just scored. It's 24-9, Titans over the Texans early in the 3rd quarter. Remember, if Tennessee wins that game, they lock up the division and the 4 seed. And so it's not like the Texans are playing a, you know, useless Tennessee team that has nothing to play for. They have everything to play for today, hence why they are beating the brakes off of a 4-win Texan team, meaning it's looking like the number 4 overall pick is going to be where Atlanta will sit. It'll be Jacksonville, the Jets, most likely Miami, that of course via Houston, Atlanta there at 4, Cincy at 5, and Philadelphia at 6, depending on what happens on Sunday Night Football, Eagles versus Washington. Later tonight, you'll hear that here on 92.9. So again, where are we at today? Today is a good day. You pat yourself on the back. One, you do not have to watch the Atlanta Falcons lose any more games for at least the next, 7-8 months. That's a plus, Dylan. But you also get a potential, or what is, a top 5 draft pick. And that is huge for the Atlanta Falcons. And honestly, and you said it earlier, it's a good day to be a Falcon fan, because now the offseason is going to be one of the more interesting ones, not just for the coaching searches, but for that top pick as well.
I feel refreshed, Thomas.
Refreshed is a good word.
I feel refreshed. I feel like we get to turn a new page and start anew now. I feel like all the funkiness and nonsense is left behind us. I feel like everything's going to be cleaned out in here in the next couple of weeks, month, however long it takes to get a new head coach and general manager in and situated. It's just really refreshing to feel like that we're about to start anew and turn a new page on this whole thing.
The page is going to be turned. And again, I think refreshing is a great word to go ahead and use there, because the hope is a quicker turnaround here, a quicker rebuild, a rebuild nonetheless, but can get the Falcons into at least playoff contention this time next year in 2021 and 2022. Okay, quick break. Roll back here in about 6 minutes, and we'll go ahead and jump into our bird's eye view interview with our Falcons reporter, Jarvis Davis. Who does Jarvis want at number 4 overall? We might disagree on which pick we would take. We'll discuss that next as the Falcon Flyover rolls on. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Now more of the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game.
With Thomas Mott. Our Falcons play here.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rich and Arthur, I think they know, you know, where I stand on things. We've had open dialogue throughout my career. And so, you know, they know, you know, my thoughts on our organization and how I feel about certain things. And I think it's their responsibility to go find the best person that they see fit for what we do moving forward.
Back here on the Falcons Flyover, that was Matt Ryan in the post-game press conference, and that's simply, should he have an input on the next head coach? And sounds like he would, I'm sure he would like to, but I think the Falcon front office knows that, well, what they need to do to help out Matt Ryan, whether that's trading Matt Ryan or, of course, keeping Matt Ryan, that is yet to be seen. Quickly, before we get to Jarvis Davis and our bird's eye view interview, a couple of games that matter for postseason implications. Rams, both with the backup quarterback, playing the Cardinals right now, up 15-7 on Arizona late third quarter. Kyler Murray has emerged from the injury tent and is warming up on the sideline there. He's going to try to get him to go back in, because Arizona must win to get into the postseason. The Colts win and they are in, but Jacksonville has scored and gotten the ball back. That one is 20-14. And the Packers lock up the one seed with a win over the Bears. It's 21-16, but Aaron Rodgers was just picked by Chicago, meaning the Bears are going to have a chance to go ahead and get the ball back, only down 5 points. Bears win, and they are in. They are also in with a Cardinals loss. More updates on the postseason playoff picture a little bit later on. Right now, though, it is time to go out to the waitfor.com hotline and get to our bird's eye view interview with Jarvis Davis.
Now, it's time for a bird's eye view with 92.9 The Game's Falcon reporter, Jarvis Davis.
And for the last time here on the final season, or the final game of the season, we bring in Jarvis Davis to break down the 44-27 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. Jarvis, good evening. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing well. First Falcon flyover here and final Falcon flyover in 2021 to kickstart the new year. Hope you had a great new year. I want to start with this Falcon defense that continues to have massive problems stopping any opposing team they play. Today, 44 points to Tom Brady. Brady was great. We give credit where credit was due. What was the biggest issue for the Falcons defense today? The front four not getting pressure, or the backside having no answer for AB or Chris Godwin?
I think one of the things that was the biggest issue is that one of the things that I've said that has really changed and we've seen an improvement on this defense is being able to stop the run. And that's one of the things that they weren't able to do consistently throughout the day, because in the second half, when Tampa wanted to run the football, they wanted to run the football. And then when they wanted to pass the ball, they were able to pass the football. When you get in a situation where you have a guy like Tom Brady in a situation where he needs to score points and he has a two-way go, meaning that he can run or he can have success running or passing but pre-snap, I think you're in trouble, and that's what happened today, and that's what got the Falcons in a lot of trouble, and you see the 44 points being put on the scoreboard.
Looking like the Falcons will have the fourth overall pick. Again, we're being big Texan fans right now, trying to go ahead and figure out if they're going to be able to beat the Titans and give the Falcons the third overall pick. But let me just ask you this. 3 versus 4 to the average football fan does not seem like a major difference, but based on the players you've seen in this draft, or at least the draft class coming up in 2021, do you see a massive difference between being third overall in the draft and potentially being one pick behind at number 4?
No, I don't see that much of a difference, because when you think about it, the top two teams are gonna be drafting quarterbacks in the Jets and the Jaguars, and then you're going to let the chips fall where they may after that, because I think they're going to be able to get a special player, whether they're at 3 or at 4. A lot of people are talking about how they want a quarterback. I mean, I totally understand that. And there's some that say, hey, they need to get a defensive end. And I understand that as well. But the thing about it is, it's going to be a new regime, a set of fresh eyes on this roster, and that's what is going to matter to me the most. I don't think it matters whether they pick 3 or 4. I think it's just the fact that they're going to have to be able to hire the right person to make that pick.
Falcons obviously have a lot of needs overall. Is there one position group that you think they do not touch with the fourth overall draft pick? Is it wide receiver? Is it linebacker? Is it somewhere else? To me, obviously corner, obviously defensive end, maybe offensive lineman. You mentioned quarterback. Those are all very obvious needs. Is there a position group or a position overall that you would be upset if they took somebody with that pick at that spot?
You know what? There's a first line position that comes to mind when you start talking about, you know, what position is untouchable. I think that was one of the positions that was a big surprise for this team, for me this year, and that is linebacker. I think they're pretty much set at linebacker. Now, I don't know whether or not they're going to make, because the next person that comes in may want to run a 3-4. Who knows? But if they are going to run a 4-3 defense next year under this new regime, I think they're going to be pretty much set at linebacker, because you have a guy like Foye Oluokun, who is a Pro Bowl type player. He proved that. You have a guy in Deion Jones that's an All-Pro type player. And you have a guy, Michael Walker, who's solid. And you, like I say, of course you would love to have Pro Bowl players across the board, but Michael Walker is a guy that you can work with. He's a guy that's pretty good in coverage. He showed that he's pretty solid in coverage, and I think if he beats up a little bit and puts a little bit more weight on to be able to be a little bit stronger in the against the run, I think you're looking at a guy who can be a solid contributor to this team going forward. But that's a position for me that if they draft draft a linebacker, and within that top five, with that top five pick, I'd be so shocked.
Talking to Jarvis Davis right now, our Falcons reporter, live on the WaitFor.com hotline. Let me give you a scenario, and you tell me what your pick would be if you were the GM. Both quarterbacks gone. Lawrence, one. Let's go with Justin Fields at two. Miami has the third overall pick. Let's say they take a wide receiver in Devontae Smith, the potential Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama. Those three guys are gone. You are the Atlanta Falcons GM, number four. You're on the clock right now, hours after the end of the 2020 season. What player would you take at that at the number four spot?
I'm working the phones because when you think about it, you know, I haven't had a chance to really do a deep dive into who's out there. But just based off the names that I know just off the top of my head, I'm working the phones to see if I could trade down to maybe six or seven because I know there's a – because at the end of the day, it always happens. It never fails. Guys like Trey Lance, you never know. These guys might wow in their private workouts, and those guys want to fly the draft boards. Quarterbacks always fly the draft board. And when you're talking about two going in those top two picks, I'm working the phones to those quarterback thirsty teams. But hey, we're at number four pick is available. What you talking about? Like, give me a first round pick. Give me a first round pick this year and a first next year, and give me a first and third next year. That's kind of, those are the conversations I'm trying to have.
Tennessee has scored. A quick update there on the third versus fourth pick. It's looking like it will be number four. Let's go ahead and jump into our Falcon grades brought to you guys by Merrill Lynch. Merrill Edge Self-Direct helps put investing within reach. Get started at merrilledge.com/withinreach. We'll start, as we always do, with the quarterback, Matt Ryan. 265 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Your grade for Matty Ice?
I'm going to go with a B, solid B. He was solid today. I don't think he didn't get sacked into the second half of the game. And when you think about some of the throws he made, and he actually put his team in contention coming out of the half. You know, we're not used to seeing that. A lot of times they get off to a good start and then kind of flail along in the second half, and that wasn't the case today. I think Matt put his team as much as he possibly could in a position to win his game, so I'm going to go with a B.
Give me your grade on Russell Gage. He was great today, 9 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. But then also tell me, can Gage be the true number two on this team? Let's say there's a scenario where Julio Jones gets traded. Ridley is the one, obviously. Is Gage good enough, based on what you saw this year, to be the number two wide receiver in Atlanta?
Right now, no, because Gage is a guy that can give you production, but he has some lows in his game, and there'll be some drops in there, some key drops on third down where you need him to make those unnecessary plays, and sometimes those are routine type plays. We've seen him drop those balls. So if you're saying that he's not going to get any better from where he is right now, the answer to that is no. But if you're telling me that he's going to work on his game and work on and get on that drill machine and work on catching the football on a consistent basis so he can be a reliable target for Matt Ryan in any situation, then I can say yes.
Let's go ahead and get to our final grade here. I've asked this multiple times over the past couple of weeks to give me overall rushing grades for the day, combining all running backs into one grade. Give me the overall Falcon rushing grade for the 2020 NFL season. They were bad again today. The Brian Hill 62-yard run was the only bright spot. The Falcons running the football as a whole this year, you're great for that.
I'm going to have to go with a D,
yeah.
A D-minus, because when you think about the signing of Todd Gurley, yeah, it's a good name. But when you look at when you take a deeper dive into it, you look at the type of injury that he had, no cartilage in his knee. Eventually he's going to wear down and you can't have that with you can't have that because you need a guy that can be consistent for you for 16 games. And you didn't have, so essentially you have a guy that's a secondary back or a guy that you're going to put on and they can put in the red zone to score touchdowns. Now we know Todd Gurley was productive there, but when you think about the type of guy Brian Hill isn't a number one guy. You know, Smith isn't a number one guy. You have a lot of secondary backs, running backs. When you look at the amount of money that you spent on Todd Gurley, and when you have the type of production that he had, he essentially fell off a cliff in the second half of the season, that's what you get. You get that D.
He is Jarvis Davis, our Falcon reporter. I totally agree on that running back grade. I mean, it's been one of the worst running years overall in Atlanta the past couple of years, and that's saying something because they've not run the football well consistently in a long time. Jarvis, we're out of time. I appreciate you coming on, not just today, but for the past 17 weeks. Great stuff. We'll talk to you more here in 2021.
Man, thanks for having me, and I've enjoyed it, man, for sure.
Jarvis, always
happy New Year to you.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year to you as well. Jarvis always does a great job. I appreciate him coming on each and every week late on a Sunday to break down his thoughts on every single Falcons game. Most of the time they were losses, but I think he gave us great insight going into the following week and now going into the offseason. You'll hear plenty more of Jarvis throughout all the shows here on 92.9. Okay, I want to hear from you, the listener. Call in now, 404-741-0929. The first move the Falcons must make this offseason is what? What's most important? Is it quarterback? Is it the draft pick? Is it GM? Is it head coach? We will answer your calls next here in the Falcon Flyover Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Win on three, one, two, three. Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Really just control what I can control, focus on me in the offseason, and when it's time to go in and talk about contract talks, if I'm here in Atlanta, great. If I'm not, it's just God's plan.
Back here inside the Kia Studios, Falcons Flyover, Thomas Mott, Dylan Matthews hanging out. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Real Thomas Mott. Good news, Falcons fans. Get this. Tennessee fumbled inside their own red zone. Texans recovered. They have scored again. It's now 31-28. Titans over the Texans. We're not even into the fourth quarter yet. Remember, if the Texans win over Tennessee, the Falcons have the third overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Dylan, where is your Texans hat? It should be on right now because Deshaun Watson, MJ himself, according to Dabo Sweeney, we're rooting for him big right now. He's playing well against the Titans.
Come on, Deshaun, man. Do it for us, boy. Good, I mean, hey, gracious. It's the least Deshaun Watson can do. He's a Georgia boy. Come on.
It's the least he could do.
I got an interesting story real quick. Deshaun actually owes this to me personally. You want to know why?
Yeah.
So, my sophomore year, I went to Sandy Creek High School. It's where Calvin Johnson went to high school.
Right.
We were coming off back-to-back state titles. It was my sophomore year in high school. We went to Gainesville, where Deshaun Watson played high school, Red Elephants. He beat us. He did everything. I mean, he was the punter back in the day when I was
he really?
There. He was the punter, jeez. I swear. And he beat us. And that was the first time in a long time we had lost. And it was in the playoffs and all that good stuff. So, Deshaun, you owe this to me.
Yeah, big time.
As some payback for sending us home sad that night in the state playoffs. So I need you to win this game so we can have the number 3 overall pick, buddy. It's not even going to you, Deshaun. It's going to Miami.
That's true, right? I mean, this doesn't even matter at all because the Texans front office is so, I guess, oblivious in terms of keeping their draft picks. They've shipped them all away. This pick goes to Miami, and, you know, 4 for Miami is fine. They can take Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and get Tua happy, even though Tua looked really bad today. They got spanked by Buffalo earlier on in the 1 o'clock hour. But the Texans game definitely matters big time right now. We're keeping an eye on that. 31-28, Titans over the Texans. 1:20 to go, third quarter. Texans win. The Falcons have the third overall draft pick. Let's pivot now to that third overall draft pick. We're going to go to the phone lines right now, 404-741-0929. Get your guys' take going into the offseason. Most important move the Falcons need to go ahead and do first. What is it? Now, it probably will be GM first. That's the easy one. But if it is the draft pick, and a lot of people are focused on the draft pick, where are you going with that draft pick? I'm going to be honest. I would not be mad if they drafted Justin Fields. I think he'll be a great pro in the National Football League. However, I think this team, as it currently looks, with a better defense, and by I mean a better defense, a pass rusher, and throwing another cornerback, if you put Patrick Surtain on this roster right now and added another pass rusher, maybe that's AKA healthy Dante Fowler, who knows? If the defense plays better, this team can win 8, 9, or 10 games next year. I fully believe that they could do that. Now, I'm going to be in the minority because a lot of people are tired of Matt Ryan and they're tired of Julio Jones, and I guarantee you, you, the caller, are waiting on the phone line right now to tell me exactly that. I still believe, though, firmly, that Matt Ryan has enough in the tank to where they could take a quarterback later on in the draft this year, let him sit for a year, and then replace Matt Ryan in 2022. I'm not saying you don't take a quarterback. I think they need to take a quarterback. Mac Jones, hey, you know, early second round, Kyle Trask, come on in, sit down, give Matt his final year, see what Matt can do, because I think he can still play at a high level, and then either draft somebody next year or insert Trask or Mac Jones or Trey Lance or whatever. The problem with drafting Justin Fields, and this is legitimate, the problem if they draft Justin Fields at 3 or 4, they have to play Justin Fields next year, and he will play next year. There's no scenario where Justin Fields does not get in at quarterback next season, because you cannot spend that high of a draft pick in the modern NFL and not play them. Even if Matt Ryan plays well, one game of Matt Ryan throwing two picks and everybody on this show and in Atlanta will be calling me saying, Thomas, this is future Thomas, ring, ring, we want Justin Fields right now. And it'll be ridiculous, and that's what will happen.
That's true. I do agree with that. I don't agree with the fact that, I mean, a quarterback is essential to have, and we need to get a guy.
It's
true. So I would be okay with drafting Justin Fields at number 3 and sitting him behind Matt Ryan. But like you said, I think other people will start to overreact as soon as Matt Ryan has a little blip of a bad game on his radar.
I'm not saying no on Justin Fields. They draft him. I'll come on my radio show, Ready or Mott, on Saturdays every morning, and I'll say that's fine, good pick. I just think if you get what could be the next Jalen Ramsey at cornerback and actually legitimately stop giving up 44 points a game, this team might be able to do something.
And get a competent play caller on offense.
And get a competent play caller and get a running back and protect Matt Ryan better. There's a long list of things that they need. But yes, you are right. Okay, enough of me jabbering. Let's hear from you guys jabbering on the phone line. Let's go out to our first phone caller of the night. Dylan, who is it?
Dave from Decatur.
Dave in Decatur. What's up, Dave?
What's happening?
What up, man?
Hey, you know what? I'm on the along the lines with you guys as far as I want to see a quarterback, first and foremost. But let's get real. We need a running back, first and foremost. We do need a quarterback in this draft. I don't care where we get him. We do need a quarterback. My reasons, for one, would be, when has Matt Ryan ever had competition? You know, had some hot, quarterback, ready to take him to task. You know what I'm saying? Challenge him for his job. What I'm saying. But going back to what I'm saying, I want to see a running back first, but we have to get a quarterback in this draft. That's all I want to say. I want to leave the time for everybody else and hear everybody else. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, I appreciate the phone call there. I do not want a quarterback. Let me just make this clear again. I think they do need to add a quarterback, but I also see the skeleton of a football team that could be good with competent play calling. Dave, you mentioned it. An actual running back, that's a massive need in the draft. If they do not draft a legit running back in this draft, there's two legit ones and a couple of really good ones. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, they'll be there in the second round most likely. If they could get one of those two, plus a corner at 4, or trade back and get 2 second-round draft picks, plus number 8 overall, like Jarvis Davis mentioned, they can make this roster good enough to win with Matt Ryan. They did not lose the majority of their football games because of Matt Ryan. They lost the majority of their football games because the defense is trash, the running game is trash, and the offensive line has been bad for the majority of the weeks. That does not say that Matt Ryan is free from blame and I'm in love with Matt Ryan. No! And I'm not saying I do not want Justin Fields. You just create a different level of controversy in Atlanta if you take Justin Fields over taking a surefire cornerback who's going to be legit for the next couple of years. Jalen Ramsey just made potentially a game-winning play against Arizona early in the fourth quarter. If you could get that on Atlanta and shore up the secondary, that changes things dramatically, because then Tom Brady at 43 years old isn't torching you with his 43-year-old arm drive after drive after drive, as we saw today. Next phone call.
Next phone call, we got Ken in Riverdale.
Ken in Riverdale. What's up, Ken?
What's going on, my man? Who cares about controversy, man? If you got a chance to go get Justin Fields and he's sitting there for you and you don't go get him, that might be the biggest boneheaded move of this organization could ever make. Justin Fields will be a game changer in the National Football League. Write it down. I like this corner you're talking about, Surtain, but he's corners can be game changers depending on the time when they pick the ball off, but I'm talking about for 10, 15 years for your organization, man, to have a solid quarterback up on the center. You got a chance to go get Justin, man. You better go get him. I don't care if it's at number 3 or number 4. Go get the guy. He's a game changer. All right, guys.
I appreciate the phone call. I think that a lot of callers will echo the love for Justin Fields. Let me say this, and this is not going to be Debbie Downer Thomas. I don't know if Justin Fields is there at number four. I think he could be there at three. I think based on what we saw in the college football semifinal game, and if he plays well against Alabama, then this is guaranteed. Someone can give the Jets a king's ransom. If you're Detroit, let's just put our Detroit Lions GM hats on. Everyone grab those and put them on right now. If you're Detroit at seven right now, and you trade Matthew Stafford away, as you should, because the guy has not been able to win, more so Detroit's fault, but let's say they get rid of him, that's an extra pick that they could then slide up to number two and take Justin Fields. My fear right now is we're going to spend the next 4 to 5 months on Atlanta Sports Radio licking our chops and dreaming every night about Justin Fields just to see somebody else come ahead of us and take him, or the Falcons do what I'm thinking that they might do and take a cornerback, and then we're really sad and upset, well, as the team is still a lot better because they get a good GM and a good head coach, at least we're assuming.
Yeah, and the thing about that is Justin Fields looks great right now.
Yes.
We don't know. I mean, I hate to put this on Justin Fields. I hope he works out in the NFL no matter where he goes, whether it's the Falcons, Jacksonville, Jets, wherever. I hope he succeeds. Don't get me wrong about that. But look at what Dwayne Haskins ended up in the Washington football team. Now, that's a different case. Dwayne, a lot of that was maturity.
Yep.
I don't know if it was necessarily skill, but – everybody always talks about they kind of run a one-read type of offense in Ohio State. So be wary about that. Justin Fields may not be that guy. He might just be fitting in a system that works for him in Ohio State. I'm not saying that's the case.
Right.
I'm just saying that's the thing to think about. And also as well, to your point, we have pieces. I mean, we got Debo. We got Grady Jarrett. Julio, if he's still here, I mean, that depends on the coach and the GM, too. We got pieces, and Matt Ryan has not been the problem. If we get an offensive line that can complement the running game to Matt Ryan, I mean, I think we'll be set. So if we, you know, like Jarvis said, trade back, we can get some more assets and add on some more pieces to this team and just build around what we already have, we'll be fine.
A great point there on Justin Fields. I know a lot of people want to compare him to Dwayne Haskins, and you said it. It's not guaranteed to be Dwayne Haskins, but Haskins would worry me a little bit. The guy looked not ready to play. He threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State, and then 2 years later has been washed out of the National Football League. You mentioned maturity. That is true. Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, Tua has looked bad at times. He looked really bad today as they got waxed by Buffalo and are probably going to be eliminated due to the fact that they lost today. We're not saying Justin Fields is going to be bad. And I'm not saying I wouldn't be excited for them to take Justin Fields. I just think we have to temper the expectations a little bit because we're going to overhype ourselves on one player and then be mad if they take somebody else who might actually be better in the long run. More on this and more callers on the other side of this break. Roll to the top of the hour. If you're waiting in line on the phones, we'll get to you next. Falcon Flyover rolls on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.